The Hola Mexico Film Festival was founded in 2008, and this festival is the largest Mexican film festival outside of Mexico, where some of the best and brightest talents are highlighted in Mexican cinematography. Also a part of the festival is a development program now in its fifth year, Tomorrow's Filmmakers Today. Through this program, 20 emerging Latino filmmakers are fully funded in a six-day intensive program that connects them with prominent directors, producers, programmers, executives in both Hollywood and Mexico. In other words, it's the biggest, baddest Latinx networking event for up-and-coming cinematographers and filmmakers. Well, it's my pleasure today to have the curator of this program, Diana Luna, with us today on the Queso Podcast. We are a community of creators, of artists, of writers, of speakers, of people. Sometimes it takes a hand from someone or a good word from someone to get ahead in any industry. And that's why I'm so excited about this program, because it strives to do just that, to put Latinx creators in contact with some of the biggest people in the industry. And I think that's how we should all do in whatever industry we're in, whatever line of work we're doing, even if it is a reference for someone to work at a store or a factory. Let's keep upholding each other in a better light and not trying to push each other down. If we build someone else up, we build up our community, and it's only the human thing to do. Thanks for joining me. So thank you so much for being here with me today. I really appreciate it. I'm sure you've been busy this past few months.
A little. Just a little, trying to figure out like what was next for the festival and how we were going to put it all together, including our program. So but we're here, ready to go.
Yes. So tell me a little bit about yourself. I know you're originally from Mexico City.
I'm from Mexico City. I'm a proud, as we call them, Chilanga.
Yes.
And in terms of my background, I've been working many years, more than 15, close maybe to 20, but that doesn't sound too old. I've been working in putting together programs in the fields of arts and culture for the creative industries. So for anyone that has a creative mind, it's a matter of how to then make it into a profitable careers that is not compromising their creativity, but is bringing to the people and the audiences what we need to see, to enjoy, to hear about. So that's pretty much what I have been done for now quite a while.
So I've read that part of your passion is just that, getting artists to a place where they're not just creating, but they're living a fruitful life from their work.
Correct. I love the arts. I'm very passionate about anything that has to do with human expression. And I also see that there is a very strong need to support those creative minds by not changing what they're expressing, but making sure that we live in a community that part of the democracy that includes that everybody's expression and messages and what we have to say, it's really out there. Mm-hmm. And I've always been advocating for that right that it comes either through arts education or through enhance our communities to really put out what we think, that content that we really need to transmit of who we are. Mm-hmm. I find it crucial in today's world so that we get a better understanding of who we are.
Now, I know some of your work included teaching actual like college students on the arts and how to apply it in nonprofit and also for profit, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me how that works. Like, you know, when people think nonprofit, usually they don't think about arts, right? How, you know, what kind of students did you come across and what kind of projects were they working on?
Yeah, so actually within the arts field, most of the organizations are nonprofit, but we don't really know. When you go to theater, you're not thinking, oh, I'm going to a nonprofit play. Or when you're in a museum, you're never thinking this must be a nonprofit organization. We don't think about it. We just enjoy what we see or what we experience. And something that is very important to point out is that within this sector, it keeps us struggling because sometimes we have all the experience within the art form, call them filmmaking, painting, dancing. We could be very creative, but at the time that you have to put it out there, you need those skills to understand, well, do I need a nonprofit in order to put my work out there and bring the audience and make a profit from it or not? Or how do I will ask for support, that there is so much support for, well, not so much, but when you have grants available from an organization to support filmmaking, but how do I have access to them? Do I need to be a for-profit or a nonprofit? So it's guiding people throughout what are the tools and the resources that you actually can have as being part of this creative industry.
I see. And I think it's part of those steps that are ambiguous to a big majority of artists that maybe have just amazing work, but just don't know where to start to get it out there, right? Now you're working with film students for this festival. It's particularly in the film industry. What was the main objective when you started to work with students or with these participants?
Yeah, when Samuel Dweck, the director of the festival, the Hola Mexico Film Festival, the festival has been running today now for 12 years. Can you imagine? It's a very long time that Hola Mexico has been out there. And 5 years ago, Samuel Dweck came to me and said, I have this idea about, like, I bring so many talented producers, directors, actors to the festival from Mexico that I see that they're an incredible resource for our community here in LA to have to be able to connect with them, to access other kind of resources, create new relationships with Mexico. So I thought, well, that's wonderful. That's exactly the area that I feel very passionate about. Let's create something that actually supports our emerging filmmakers. So the people that we brought into the program are those that are young people that most likely already finished a film program or been in the field for a little while. They have a short already put together. They're devoted to their careers. So we brought them together. I mean, every year we bring them together, like 20 each year that we select, and we give them access not only to the people that were coming to the festival, but also to the industry in Hollywood. And we've been very lucky that we have received tremendous support from big organizations that you can see in the back. And many others that believe that we need that talent to be supported so that we create new content, so that we are better portrayed and having a better representation within the Hollywood industry in this particular case.
So I read that the majority of these students are women, like 63%, something like that. And the average age was like 28 years old. Are there any requisites? I know those aren't requisites to be in the festival or to be a participant, but do you have to live in Los Angeles and be a filmmaker in Los Angeles to participate?
At the moment, well, things are so different nowadays, right? I mean, we live in this online world where actually the participants this year, they are alumni and they are, I mean, all over, right? I mean, they are, I mean, we have some in Hawaii, we have some in Mexico, we have some in the East Coast. So we will redefine what are the requirements for the program, but at the time that we had it in person, it was important to be in Los Angeles because the sessions were happening there. So, and it was important also to be at that moment in Los Angeles so that people were actually be able to connect in person. But that is back in the day when we used to to get together, right? But nowadays, I mean, having the program online, I think it might give us a different perspective into how we're going to make the program in the future. But the requirement that is always going to remain is that you are Latinx and that you are living in the US, that you can work here and that you have a short in hand to present, because a very important part of the program is that you're able to screen your short in the big screen with the features that we have along with the festival. This time also, as we are in this online world, we're very lucky to have a partner that is going to stream our film festival, that is Pantaya. This is a streaming service that had incredible Latino movies, and they partner with us, and they are going to showcase great work, not only from the festival, but from our Tomorrow's Filmmakers Today.
And I saw that for $4.99, you can screen all 20 shorts. Is that correct?
And the films, the 20 films, yes.
20 films, yes.
20 shorts.
Oh, okay. So it's the 20 films that are already there from the alumni, right? Yes. And the 20 shorts from the participants.
Correct. And
it's $4.99 with pantalla. That's all you pay to watch them?
Yes. So 20 films are actually like the festival brings 20 films from Mexican filmmakers. Mm-hmm. And they are incredible films that are going to be now released in the US. Mm-hmm. So those are the big features. But also from our group of emerging filmmakers, we're bringing the 20 shorts. And when you get access to Pantalla, you get to see them all. Some of the films, actually, that might have only like 24 hours availability, but the shorts and the films are going to be there for the 10-day festival. And it's going to work like any other festival. We're going to have a voting aspect of it to select your favorite short, your favorite feature, but also we'll have the Q&As with the actors and directors from the films and from the shorts. So everything is still happening, maybe not in person, but
I'm glad you're finding the upside of being online, because there really are some pluses to doing everything online this year.
Definitely. This is going to be a very different experience for a festival. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are other festivals that have done it already by streaming services. In our case, well, obviously it's the first time, but I also see the reach that the shorts in this case, which is the program, my part of the festival, mm-hmm. Is going to have an incredible reach nationally. So I'm really hoping that people out there are really paying attention to emerging filmmakers, mm-hmm. and support them. I think that's the main goal, to give them visibility, and more than now than ever, that they really need to put their work out there and find new opportunities.
Now, you're in those circles in Hollywood, and you're seeing films coming out, you know, not just from Latinos, but just in the bigger, you know, Hollywood part of the movie industry. Why do you think it's still so hard for Latinos to burst out of that scene as either an actor or director, producer? Why is it still, in 2020, why is it still so difficult, do you think?
Well, this is one of the reasons why this program, Tomorrow's Filmmakers, exists. Mm-hmm. And it has a very clear objective, and is to have representation, not only within the content that is produced, but also within the crew that you see in a set in Hollywood, that we see that there are more Latinos working there, that we have more women, Latino filmmakers, mm-hmm. in the field, with this in the spotlight. I think that's what is needed. When you don't have, it's not necessarily about creating content about talking about the typical events. No, well, we don't have to talk about immigration. We don't have to talk about any of our concerns, but talk about who we are as a community, not only that lives in LA, but is a global Latino community. Like, we're everywhere, and many, many stories happen. Mm-hmm. We need that kind of content to really be on the spotlight. It happens to be Mexican directors that we have right now really shining within winning awards and being internationally recognized. The thematic is not necessarily about Latino communities. It's just about good stories. Right. And that's what we're looking into, in having good stories created by Latinos that have exposure, mm-hmm. and having these groups of emerging filmmakers get together and collaborate. We have great examples on our program where we gather 20 each year, 20 emerging filmmakers, and they have the opportunity for 10 days to really get to know each other, to really connect and to fall in love with their work. And then later create those collaborations. We have one of our shorts that are gonna be screened in Pantalla. It's, there are three Tomorrow's Filmmakers that they met in the program and they did the short together. Mm-hmm. We have others, other shorts that portray that same example that we have the writer, it's Tomorrow's Filmmakers, the director, the photographer. So they get to know each other. And then the whole thing about this is collaboration, and how do we create those meaningful connections throughout? I mean, we need to help each other.
Yeah. How did the workshop look this year? Everybody was on like a Zoom meetings, or how did that work?
Well, the way we're going to work this year, well, they're going to stream their work in pantalla. But throughout the week, we're going to be having like us a Zoom meeting they're going to have about 2 to 3 Zoom meetings during the day. In the morning, we invited organizations or big companies such as Warner, Universal. We are going to have HBO, of course, talking about the programs that they have and new initiatives. And it's all for these big companies to bring the opportunities that they have available for our filmmakers and be able to connect with them and understand what their work is about, where their careers are at. And then during the day, we're gonna have sessions with the directors that are showcasing their films. Mm-hmm. And they're gonna be able to meet new directors from Mexico. And again, be able to talk about their features, their careers. And at nighttime, we're going to have another session. We're going to bring big names in the film industry where they're also going to be able to talk about their careers specifically. Mm-hmm. And the Q&As for the shorts. So it's going to be a busy week for the filmmakers. The Q&As are going to be open to the public, so they also get to meet them. We're all very excited. We're really, really happy that it's actually it's happening, even in times of
even if it's 2020, right? Yes. I guess the funnest part is going to be the wardrobe changing throughout the day, right? In the years that you've been doing this, what are some of the takeaways that some of the participants have shared with you from the program?
Yes, I have so many good stories that have happened throughout. This is going to be our fifth year. We would have been 100 Tomorrow's Filmmakers as for today. We're still 80. We didn't get the 20 new ones. I'm looking forward for next year for that to happen, even if it happens online. Mm-hmm. But throughout the years, one of the recurrent comments is that when they get to the program, they don't realize that there are others that think alike, mm-hmm. that are in the same, within their career paths, that are looking for the same objectives. And I think that's really cool when you see people coming together because they're connected beyond just like in film, but they find so many commonalities. And we actually put the program purposely that way when we are interviewing the applicants, mm-hmm. and we want to see that they are going to connect, that there are those races where we know that they find commonalities. So that's one of the first comments that I always get, that they never imagined that they would have find people mm-hmm. that they can actually become friends, not only within the profession, but now for life.
In real life,
And the next one is that they are actually able to have access to the opportunities they wouldn't have otherwise. They're able to connect with agents from CAA, WME, and from HBO. So they have those open doors that they also didn't expect to have. And a lot of them have taken great opportunities from those, being admitted into different writers and directors programs, having access to other festivals or other fellowships. So we feel very, very happy with the outcomes.
That's so great that you do that. I think before social media, that's what a lot of us did, right? We met a young person and we said, oh, you need to meet so-and-so, and you take them to a networking event and keep the ball rolling like that. At least you hope it keeps rolling and then they pay it forward that way. But this is all happening in one platform. Now you select 20 participants, how many apply?
Well, we get an average of 70 applications. It's now word to mouth. Honestly, we don't do much of publicity for that matter, or like market it as much, because we really want to make sure that the people that are coming through is because mm-hmm. I have another friend that I know is as talented, but haven't maybe needs and not like going to the next level into their careers and so forth. So we receive about 70 applications, most likely more than that. And then we have a jury or a selection committee where We watch every single short, we interview them, we read through their whole essays, and then we select those 20.
So when are the applications due for 2021?
Usually the date is we release the application by the end of January. Okay. The festival usually happens the last week of May or beginning of June. This year we're a little bit behind. So this is the latest that we had the festival and the program. But usually the applications conclude around March, and then we start having all the interviews and so forth. But at the end of January is when the application goes live on our website of Hola Mexico Film Festival.
So by the time that a future filmmaker or filmmaker, producer, writers turn in their application, they should have their short already completed. There's an essay and an application. Is there a fee to apply?
No, and that's kind of the neatest part of the program. Mm-hmm. The program, it's a fellowship. We are supported by the Hollywood Foreign Press Association and HBO, Warner Media. They are the ones that fund the program. They strongly believe that we are capturing incredible talent that has incredible possibilities. So we don't charge a penny for the program. You don't pay for the application. And throughout the week, if we are on site, everything is covered. The meals, we go to different sites, different studios, and we go visit executives, and the transportation is covered for most part. I mean, with the meals, sometimes they get tired of the meals, so I don't know if we cover them all in the way they would want to, but right. everything is set for them to be able to commit to those 10 days fully, because it's you get there on site at 9 a.m. and you end up leaving like at midnight and exhausted, mm-hmm. and
right.
people get really tired by Wednesday, but by the end of the week, everybody's so happy and fulfilled with experiences. But
I'm sure it's a good kind of tired. It's an exhilarating kind of tiredness.
Yes, adrenaline at its max all throughout the week.
right. And hopefully, do you see yourself in person next year? Do you see yourself continuing some of the online methods that you're using now?
We'll see how this year goes. And if we see that connections happen this way, meaningful connections, mm-hmm. Then most likely we might move forward with an online version. But in the time being, we got the program right now with the alumni. The alumni are very happy that they're going to be able to stream their work. And having this reach, I think, is going to be wonderful. Mm-hmm. And we'll see next year. I mean, the program is here to stay. And we are looking forward to support more emerging Latinx filmmakers. We need them. We need them now, and not only in the screen, but behind and everywhere, so that we can change the discourse of our Latino community.
Now, knowing that this is aimed for Latinx creators, and we know there are creative people from all walks of life, but what do Latinos bring to this industry?
Well, we are not necessarily a minority, and we need to take that in mind. Mm-hmm. And what we bring is not only the experience that we had as Latinos born in the US, but also we understand that as immigrants, we have a lot of stories to share that are unexpected, that are maybe totally common with any other community. So I think there is a lot that we still have to bring to the table. This is a great time for that. And I mean, we are all part of this incredible country. So we need to be portrayed in the screen as well.
Right, and there's Latinos all over the US. And like you said, we're becoming a majority. But depending where in the US you live, you have your different type of, you know, customs and your different mm-hmm. type of Latinidad, right? If whether you're in Chicago, New York, Texas,
right.
It's different for each community. So to be able to look at the big screen or to tune into Pantalla and look for a movie that you can relate to, it's just beautiful to be able to do that and connect it with our children as well.
And this is the another very nice part of Hola Mexico Film Festival. The features are from Mexico, you know, like the French Film Festival, well, only movies from France, right? In this particular case, the features are only Mexican. Mm. But our program, we have people from Chile, we have people from Venezuela, from Argentina, from Mexico, from filmmakers that have been born in the US. So they have all, I mean, our programming from the shorts, it's all over the place from so many different thematics that we have drama, we have horror, we have comedy.
Children, it's our children's movie.
Yeah, yes, those from the feature. So we have a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we cannot be more diverse within the shorts and the thematics. I think it's going to be really fun.
I just imagine that a person from Chile living maybe in New Jersey and saying, "Oh wow, a little bit from home here in this movie," you know, and it's really refreshing to see that and to hopefully mm-hmm. see it more and having it be more common and something we can do too. And like you said, once we are in, then we don't just have to talk about this immigration stories and just everyday life living stories, you know, people being born, people living their lives, and there's a story there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's rich and it's multifaceted because of the cultural difference. And
we have that in the festival throughout the shorts, but also the stories that the Mexican cinema has to tell. They are also so diverse, so many, many stories that I think people is going to have a great time watching them, making time throughout the week. I see it like your night activity from the 11th to the 20th and
awesome.
Checking out the movies. I think it's just a great way to celebrate the Hispanic Heritage Month and also lands within Mexican Independence Day. So what a better way to celebrate.
And I don't need more than that for an excuse to have some popcorn.
or wine.
And wine, yes. And just breaking from the cycle of, you know, we've been in this cycle since March of, you know, what's next? What do we do now? Working and day in, day out, and to see something new and colorful and beautiful is something to look forward to.
We're so looking forward. We didn't know what to expect this year when we heard that the theaters were going to be closed, but it's about being creative. And again, I mean, it goes back into what I said at the beginning. It's about collaboration and finding incredible partners that believe in our festival, in the program, because without them, we wouldn't be able to make this happen. And regardless of COVID-19, here we are in an incredible platform supporting our emerging filmmakers, supporting Mexican cinema, and being here for our Latinx community. So I'm very glad.
I'm really proud of that. It takes a lot to put something like this out, and mm-hmm. even more in a time like this. But it just goes to show the strength of Latinos. Once again, emerging and working and the partners that have come together to support the festival, that's just mm-hmm. great. It's amazing. So thank you, Diana.
Muchísimas
gracias por estar aquí.
I really appreciate the time and for your support. I'm very, very thankful.
Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to the movie, so I'll talk to you soon.
Don't miss them.
No, I will not, for sure.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
This has been the Queso Podcast. Follow me on Instagram @the.queso.